Hello again. We're going to dig into the word of the Lord this morning together. I pray that your heart is prepared. If you were in class, then your mind is more prepared for the lesson for at this time. We spoke about the physical, spiritual realities that kingdom came to speak about. And I want to speak to you a little while this morning about what we find in the book of Acts. When I read Acts, when Acts is read, Acts is primarily the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. And those that were in the first, they were in the first days of the last days. These final days, the last days, these days, was language of what that Jesus used so that they would know that these, you and I right now, we're in the last days. We are in that kingdom period of the last days right now. And it is at the time that Acts commenced, or in the opening of Acts, that what we see is Jesus. Jesus is waging war on Satan's kingdom. And Luke writes about that. The message of Luke that he is conveying to the audience, or those he's written to, so that's the question I want us to explore together this morning. So you recognize, I'm sure, that Acts, the book of Acts, is a sequel to the gospel of Luke, right? Those are, Luke was written, and then Acts was written both by Luke, and that they're both written to Theophilus, the same person. And so Acts is a sequel, if you will. And so it's difficult. Matter of fact, it's probably impossible to separate the two. Meaning, to understand Luke's message in Acts, you have to at least have some idea, understanding of the gospel account that he wrote previous to that. So in the Gospel of Luke, at least these three major themes come out, and that is that Gentiles can become children of Abraham. That Gentiles can become children of Abraham, that Jesus very deeply cares for the poor, for the sick, for the hungry. He cares for those there, he cares for every human being and their human physical self. Talked this morning in class about Jesus's concern for the entire self, the whole self. Okay. Third thing I have here in Luke, that Jesus had authority, and it occurs in Luke in the gospel, previous to the Acts, that Jesus has authority to rebuke the power of darkness in this time and space. And in the time and space in which we live, in these last days, that authority was given to other human beings. But the Spirit, the acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles and those of the first century to rebuke the power of darkness is continued there. And I want to base it on this, that wherever, for this morning, that wherever the kingdom of God spreads, there is or should be tangible evidence, like we see in Luke and Acts, that when the kingdom of God reaches its fullness, the evidence that we see, the healings, the connection between the spiritual and the physical world, that when the kingdom of God, it ultimately reaches its fullness, when the ultimate reality comes, when Jesus returns, the new heaven and the new earth is formed, and the new creation that you are in Christ meets its fullness in you receiving the body, your body immortal, you're rejoined with with an immortal self, okay? When that occurs, everything we see that Jesus is doing in Acts and through the apostles is speaking to that. That time when God will literally and forever put an end to illness, to sickness, to anything that speaks of death, poverty, war will be no more. Also this morning, we saw that evil we can see, the evil we have experienced, like poverty, sickness, anger. You know that anger often is evil? It's kin to murder. All of these things are the result of demonic forces, Satan's kingdom, working in our lives, potentially, working in the world, in the corruptness in which we exist, that when Jesus healed someone, he was breaking Satan's hold on them. And when you came to Christ as a human being, you gave your whole self to him. And in doing so, if you have submitted fully, and when you have submitted fully to him in obedience, by faith, and continuation, Satan's grip no longer has a hold on you. Both Luke and Acts are about Jesus waging war on Satan's kingdom and speaks of the resultant victory that we live in now. The victory has been won. Okay? The victory has been secured. We in these last days, we are functioning with as the kingdom of God, where the church is the expression of the kingdom of God during these last days, looking for the final fulfillment when Satan will be put away and death will reign no longer. So if we're not careful, the fact is often overlooked, okay, when we read Acts, that's what Acts is. Now, there are other also important facts in Acts, right? Sometimes we overlook what it's really about. To look at those few facts, we can draw some inferences and conclusions about that, about the how the early church did their thing, right? Beautiful, wonderful examples of how they practiced the theology that later we find out what that theology is. We see the actions. Okay, we hear the words, and then we see what's behind all that later in Paul and Peter, John's writings. Some of what the Gospels were written about. But primarily is that God is restoring what is broken, and God is bringing back to restoration. He is restoring what has been lost. In the first place, did God restore the kingdom of Israel? Is he restoring the kingdom of Israel or his kingdom? It really brings forth what Jesus preached about the very most. When you think about what was his message? His message was the kingdom of God. That was his message. It was all about the kingdom of God. In the first chapter of Acts, if you want to turn there, you're certainly welcome to. I'm not going to go verse by verse through any of this, but the apostles they asked Jesus. They said, "Lord, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, I've thought that the question revealed more about the apostles' misunderstanding than about the kingdom, that they had a misunderstanding. But I'm beginning to think that maybe I am the one that has had the misunderstanding. If the misunderstanding is mine, It's because Jesus spent the entire 40 days from the time of his resurrection till he ascended. He spent those 40 days speaking about the kingdom of God. Why would they not ask that question? He spent the entire time speaking to them about the kingdom of God. It is Jesus's primary interest and concern to them. And so when the apostles ask about the timing of the kingdom, you'll notice that Jesus does not dismiss it. He doesn't dismiss their question as this, they're a bunch of fools. What does he do? He promised that they would receive power. Go wait in Jerusalem. You will receive power from on high. And did they? Did. They did receive power. And so throughout the apostles, by the Holy Spirit, Acts is about that infilling and the beginning of the kingdom. And it is, once again, Jesus's war on the satanic realm as lived out in the lives of Christians, the first Christians. The apostles even. And so this is what the book of Acts is how Jesus began in Jerusalem, overthrowing the enemy that held his people in bondage. Was Israel in bondage at the time? Yes, they were. But the enemy, who was the enemy? Who was the enemy? Satan. Was the enemy Rome? Well, they were a visible symptom of the enemy's control, right? They were an expression of it, a cruel expression of it. Let me ask you this question. Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of you are kind of aware. I'm not introducing something you're not aware of. Is Russia the enemy? If you knew a Russian person in Russia, is it even slightly likely that they are your enemy? It's an expression. What's taking place, the suffering, the war, the destruction, is an expression of these last days. And we are seeing Jesus's war, his combat, and the combat of Satan against good. I'm not calling everything on the other side of Russia good. That's not what I'm saying. But we are seeing an expression of Satan's hold. But that hold is fading. The victory has been won already. And so when we see things, when we see illnesses, when we see death, when we see destructions, when we see war, and we see the expression, we see the consequence of Satan's war in our world or in our lives. The Spirit, Jesus, is at war against that. And I titled this lesson, Is His Mission, or it's not a question, but His Mission, Our Mission. And part of what makes me say that is that we're designing a new website, and part of the task is to put a mission statement on there and to say on the website, who are we or who we are? If you would like to write out who we are and send that to me, that could be helpful. Anybody else want the task of giving to the world who we are in a paragraph? Okay, so you could help me with that. And then included in that page is our mission. Is our mission his mission? Is his mission our mission? We should pray that it is, right? That is the same. You may not believe that Jesus is at war with Satan, but his mission to come here is to win the victory over death. And his resurrection is about that. He has invited us into that so that we live today in victory. Not someday, today, in victory over death. The kingdom of God is here and now and is waging war with the kingdom of Satan. Everywhere the apostles went in Acts, by the power of the Spirit, they preached the name of Jesus, they preached in the name of Jesus, and they healed at the name of Jesus, that the world would be given back to God. The kingdom that is God's is in full force and in the book of Acts. And Jesus, as the reigning one, he had come. He is here and he is coming and he will come in his fullness. And as we looked at this morning, and we will see him just as he is and be like him. Perhaps truly the statement was being and is being lived out in them. When we read Acts, and I pray that it is in us, and it is this. Therefore, if there is anyone in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away, new things have come. Amen? New things have come. We're not waiting for the new things. The new things have come. We are waiting for other things, more completeness and more fullness, but new creation. That is you. If it is you. If it is you. Is there a supernatural occurrence right there in us? Is that a supernatural occurrence? An occurrence in us that involves our whole self that nature cannot explain. But the Word of God explains it to us. And then we live it out. We live it out. You see, it's not simply our spiritual self being saved. It is the whole person that death no longer has victory over. Our brother Ed passed away Friday after a long struggle. Some of you were here the day he was immersed into Christ and he was separated from death. He, his whole self, I remember that day, his whole big self, he's much bigger than me, was immersed up here into Christ, his physical, spiritual, his entire self. Was raised with Christ and in Christ. Where he is now, I can't fully explain, but the scripture is very clear that he will receive a new body, a resurrected body, in a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? He will not be floating in a cloud with no connection to it, to anything. It will be a new reality, the way God intended it from the beginning. So those who are now on the kingdom mission to bring everyone who will to know this truth, that Jesus has come to set you free and to live this truth and to share this truth. You've got to know it, to live it, and to share it, right? Are we functioning? Are you living like you know it? Are you sharing it like you live it? Do you believe? And do you know? Have you been set free? When we get to Paul sharing this truth about the kingdom to the king, Agrippa, this being Acts chapter 26. When we get to Paul sharing about this to King Agrippa, Paul says this in verse 18. Now, I want to know if you think that this is our mission. Is his mission our mission? Because he tells King Agrippa what his mission is. And what he says that he was sent to do, and are you sent to do this? It says in verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan to God. Does that look like repentance right there? This turning? It does. This understanding. And upon that, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. They might receive forgiveness of sins. Is not unimportant to me. Is that unimportant to you? That's important, right? To receive forgiveness of sins. But is that only part of the story? That's a little part of the story, an important part, but it's only part of the story. Okay? They might receive forgiveness of sins, and then I will say, and receive an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. To receive an inheritance, you are among those who have been sanctified through faith in Jesus. Okay, there is a sense in which you have been sanctified, made holy and righteous, are being sanctified, made holy and righteous, and then there will come a time when you are entirely sanctified. And you are a holy, complete being, created and not only created in the image of God, but now expressed fully in the new heaven and the new earth in the image of God. Wow. Is that the message that we live? Is that our mission? To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light? From the domain of Satan to God? It is. It is. Is my mission that? Would you say that's my mission? Is that your mission? If that's so, this verse is our mission statement. Maybe. Wow, I got so much more. Jesus told Paul, I'm sending you to both the Jews and the Gentiles to open their eyes, that they would turn from darkness to light. In a sense, those words sum up the book of Acts. We are those who enjoy forgiveness of sins. Those in Christ enjoy the forgiveness of sin, and we have ideas or concepts of what that means. Do we, according to this, do we that are in Christ, do we have a place, an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Jesus? Yes, we do. Well, good for us. Good for you. I am so thankful, aren't you? What about the other? What about the other? You see, if it's only about you, your mission's completed. But if it's always about the other, as it is in Acts, this mission goes on as it has gone on. And so I pray, Lord, let our eyes always be open to you and to your word. Let us see the end of Satan's power in our lives as your new creation. Father, we pray that Satan's power be released from those who oppress, those who cause others much pain, much anxiety. We pray that those that are sanctified in you through faith in your Son, that are in times of war, in places of great suffering, we pray that their faith will carry them through, that our brothers and sisters would find comfort and strength. This invitation is to those who have their eyes opened already, to see now the practical implications of being kingdom citizens and taking your mission and taking it seriously, that your faith in Christ, that your faith in Christ and your joining him as the whole self with him in your full body immersion, whenever that was, or if in fact that needs to occur, set you on a course to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's his mission, and we're on that as well. I hope that you make your mission yours. I hope that's true for you. Bill, would you come and